SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yurujamarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Friday, the 31st of May. Coming up on today's show, NITV Radio chats to Peter Cooley, the CEO of First Hand Solutions, about the upcoming National Indigenous Art Fair, an ethical marketplace showcasing artwork from local as well as remote First Nations artists across Australia. And as Reconciliation Week draws to a close, NITV Radio shares the voices of our youth about what Reconciliation Week means to them, why this week is so important, and what their hopes are for the future as the next generation. And we share a few top stories from our NITV news team. All these stories coming up after the NITV Radio News Wrap of the Week.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
The Northern Territory Police Commissioner has admitted to knowing about racist award certificates handed out to tactical group officers months before they were revealed at an inquest. Commissioner Michael Murphy was the final witness in the almost two-year-long inquest into the police killing of 19-year-old Walpri man Kumanjai Walker by former police constable Zachary Rolfe in 2019. The inquest follows the acquittal of Mr. Rolfe on charges of murder, manslaughter and engaging in a violent act causing death in relation to the killing of Mr. Walker. In February, the former constable revealed that racist mock awards were handed out by officers in the Elite Territory Response Group. At the time, Commissioner Murphy was quick to respond.
I was not aware of the TRG, these awards they spoke of, but I mean, as I said, there'll need to be an inquiry undertaken now. And a search for the truth to find out exactly what any basis, if any, that the assertions made yesterday in the court are true or not.
However, he now admits that he was advised about the awards in August of last year and says he did not undertake any investigation into what he concedes was blatantly racist behaviour. The awards are currently being investigated by the anti-corruption watchdog. Final submissions to the inquiry are expected in the coming months. Donald Trump has become the first former United States president to be convicted of a crime when New York jury found him guilty of falsifying documents to cover up a payment to silence a porn star ahead of the 2016 election. After deliberations over 2 days, the 12-member jury announced it found Trump guilty on all 34 counts he faced, with unanimity required for any verdict. The decision puts the United States into unexplored territory ahead of the presidential election in November, when Trump, the Republican candidate, will try to win the White House back from the Democratic president, Joe Biden. Mr. Trump says the verdict is a disgrace and claims to still be innocent.
This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA, and the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution.
An investigation into a Singapore Airlines flight hit by severe turbulence has found passenger injuries were caused by a rapid change in gravitational force. Preliminary findings show the plane experienced a 54-metre altitude drop over 4.6 seconds. A 73-year-old passenger died of a suspected heart attack and dozens were injured, including 12 Australians and a permanent resident, after flight SQ321, flying from London to Singapore, encountered what the airline described as sudden extreme turbulence over Myanmar. The May 21st flight on a Boeing 777-300ER plane carrying 211 passengers, including 56 Australians and 18 crew, diverted to Bangkok after the plane was hit by turbulence that flung passengers and crew around the cabin, slamming some into the ceiling. Singapore's Transport Ministry has issued a statement saying the aircraft experienced a rapid change in gravitational force, adding that this likely resulted in the occupants who were not belted up to become airborne. A parliamentary committee has recommended Australia to establish a National Human Rights Act. Despite being a signatory to the 7 core international human rights treaties, Australia does not currently have a National Human Rights Act, with no way to challenge human rights violations under national law. The committee received over 300 submissions, the majority of which supported the creation of a national charter. Committee Chair Josh Burns says Australia is behind other countries in establishing a central act.
We are the only liberal democracy who doesn't have either a Human Rights Act or a Bill of Rights. Three states and territories have one currently in Australia. That is Victoria, Queensland and the ACT. And this Human Rights Act federally would complement that. It could not take away any of the state and territory powers, but rather sit alongside it and to help guide the federal jurisdiction and the federal parliament in the creation and the establishment and the compatibility of human rights in Australia.
A controversial ban on the live export of sheep by sea has been slammed as ripping away the livelihoods of thousands of farmers. The federal government introduced laws to the lower house would commit to banning live exports by May 2028. The laws would still allow for live sheep to be exported, but only by air, following animal welfare concerns. The government has set aside $107 million for an estimated 3,000 farmers in Western Australia who would be affected by the shutdown of the industry. Introducing the legislation, Infrastructure Minister Catherine King says a planned phase-out date would provide certainty to the industry rather than imposing harsher measures. Victorian Premier says the reason only 1% of plumbing students finished their free TAFE course is because so many went on to secure apprenticeships. According to data obtained by the state opposition under Freedom of Information Law, just 18 of 1,514 students enrolled in the Certificate 4 in Plumbing and Services in 2019 and 2020 completed their course. It also revealed 1 in 10 students completed their Certificate 4 in Engineering and 1 in 3 finished their Diploma in Building and Construction. 17% finished their Certificate 4 in Child, Youth and Family Intervention. This year's prestigious Archibald Packing Room Prize has been awarded to Matt Adnate for his portrait of Yolngu rapper Baker Boy. The Packing Room Prize is picked by the three who unpack the more than 1,000 Archibald entries, whittled down to 138 finalists on display. This year marks the highest number of First Nations artists entering their work across the categories. The young artist says he is humbled to have his work be recognised by the judges.
I am completely honoured. I grew up as a graffiti artist, and, you know, when I was a teenager, and spent the first 10 years just painting letters and then evolved into painting portraiture. So I've always looked at places like the Art Gallery in New South Wales and growing up in Melbourne, the NGV, as something that I would never ever dream of even having a painting in, let alone winning a prize like this. So it really means a lot. Thank you so much.
The winner of the Archibald Prize will be announced next Friday. Nominations have opened for the 2024 Australian of the Year Awards. The Australian of the Year Awards recognises contributions made by Australians for the greater community through education, community service, advocacy and arts. 4 finalists in each category are recognised by the states and territories before the final awards on January 25th. Assistant Minister to the Prime Minister, Patrick Gorman, says the awards represent the best of the Australian community.
Any Australian can be nominated and any Australian can nominate, because Australian of the Year is all about being from the people of Australia for the people of Australia. You can nominate for Australian of the Year, nominate for Senior Australian of the Year, Young Australian of the Year, or Local Hero.
A person can only be considered for an award through public nomination, which close on the 31st of July. In AFL, Carlton have ended an unwanted decade-long record with a 6-goal away win against Port Adelaide. Thursday night's victory was Carlton's first at Adelaide Oval against a South Australian opponent after losing their previous 7 attempts by an average of 64 points. The Blues, who now sit fourth on the ladder, have beat Fremantle at the venue in this year's Gather Round. Carlton coach Michael Voss told Fox Sports the 107-71 victory shows the team's transformation since he took over in 2022.
Over the last 2 or 3 years, it feels like there's been a number of records that we've had to try and change. Clearly, the results haven't been in our favour for a period of time as a club. So there's a few of those sorts of things that the ledger's not in the right way. But over the last 2 or 3 years, we've gradually been able to go about being able to create that transformation.
And in rugby league, 1 week out from the first State of Origin clash, the Blues say they are ready to reverse their 2-year losing streak. The New South Wales team will see 6 debutants in the series opener. Veteran back rower Angus Crichton says the team is hoping to use the nerves from the first-timers to fuel a hungry and passionate performance.
I think everyone's pretty keen. A lot of those guys have sort of been there or thereabouts for a couple of years now, and obviously the debutants will be nervous, and even if you played a couple of Origin games, you still get nervous, but I think it's about harnessing that and that nervous excitement and using it for fuel to go and perform. So, we'll be doing our best to make sure everyone's ready, and I've got no doubt that everyone will step up.
Game one will kick off next Wednesday at Sydney's Accor Stadium. And that is NITV Radio's News Wrap of the Week.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Luana Grant, and you're listening to NITV Radio. Still to come on the show, NITV Radio chats to Peter Cooley, the CEO of First Hand Solutions, about the upcoming National Indigenous Art Fair, an ethical marketplace showcasing artwork from local as well as remote First Nations artists across Australia. And NITV Radio also shares the voices of our youth about what Reconciliation Week means to them, why this week is so important, and what their hopes are for the future as the next generation. But first, we share a few top stories from the week from our NITV news team. National Sorry Day commemorations were held around the country on Monday in recognition of First Nations children who were forcibly removed from their families. Stolen Generation survivors take pause to reflect on their trauma as they seek to educate other Australians about one of the darkest chapters of the nation's history.
A staged protest outside of New South Wales Parliament.
Black kids are under attack! What do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
A coalition of Aboriginal organisations, Stolen Generation survivors and families affected by the continued forced removal of Aboriginal children, demanding policy changes from all levels of government.
We need to see much more change when it comes to the treatment of Aboriginal kids and families by government, and certainly we need to see Aboriginal communities driving those reform efforts and not government continuing to tell Aboriginal people what's best for our kids.
Over the course of 6 decades, thousands of First Nations children were forcibly removed from their families. Many sent to so-called training homes, where they experienced profound trauma and grief. Sorry Day emerged the year after the 1997 Bringing Them Home report, which documented the experiences of survivors and made 54 recommendations to try and mitigate further damage.
Bringing the Children Home report brought no children home.
saying sorry means nothing without having any action behind it.
Still happening today at such high rates. Thousands of our children are still being stolen.
The protest comes as other events were held to mark the official National Day of Healing. One of those, organised by Kuta Girls Aboriginal Corporation, named after one of the training facilities.
It's the truth I think I want known to be told out there, of the impact of this one policy. I didn't know that I had two identities. One they took away from me and the new one they gave me.
National Sorry Day, everyone, is a time for all Australians to reflect and acknowledge.
The federal government announcing $3.5 million to support community-led healing initiatives for stolen generation survivors and their families. Ricky Kirby, NITV News.
Four members of the Simons family from the Queensland's Sunshine Coast have travelled to Bells Beach in Victoria for some friendly competition and to connect through culture at the Australian Indigenous Surfing Titles.
A smoking ceremony to kick off the Australian Indigenous Surfing Titles on Wadawurrung country. Spectators and competitors from all over coming together to enjoy 3 days of surf and culture.
It started off as a way to showcase the best Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander surfers in the country, but it kind of grew into a far greater thing where it was more about all the mob coming together, being together and celebrating what we do.
For one family who have been going to the competition for years, the love of surfing runs deep. Biripi man Mark Simon and his three children, Summer, Bodie and Taj, all competing this year.
To get an Australian Indigenous title down here at Bells, it's something special, and Summer's won it a couple of times, so it's a great feeling. I don't even have to win, but to see my two daughters, Summer and Bodie, and my son Taj, do really well, that's more fulfilling than going well myself.
The family pastime picked up after Summer started surfing when she was just 8.
It's a typical sibling thing to do, really. I mean, you see your older sister doing it, then you want to just do the same thing. So I guess that was just with all our siblings, and we always did everything together.
When the kids got started, that's basically when I got started as well. Yeah, I was a late starter, but definitely my kids got me into it a bit more. And yeah, what better way to spend your time is out in the surf with your kids.
The competition ended with only Bodie placing, coming second in the Open Women's and third in the Junior Girls. But for the Simons, taking part was always more than about winning.
To be able to share stories, spend time with other people, other mob that have the same interests, same lifestyle as you, yeah, that's really the most important thing to come to these gatherings.
This one's more about the cultural aspect and coming together and having fun, and the vibe around the comp is like, it's just a good vibe. There's no bad energy. Everyone's just all happy and glad to be here.
Ricky Kirby, NITV News.
It's been 32 years since the Torres Strait Islander flag was presented to the people at a major cultural festival. To mark the anniversary, a new children's book has been launched on Thursday Island, telling the story of the flag and its meaning.
A community celebration marking the anniversary of the flag and the launch of a very special book. Our Flag, Our Story was co-written by Bernard Namok Jr., who was just 10 years old when his father designed the flag.
My dad used to do all them sketches, you know, at late at nights, and seeing it made from a sketch to what that flag is now, it's pretty special, yeah.
Award-winning author and Indigenous rights campaigner Thomas Mayo is the co-author.
As Torres Strait Islanders say, we're a minority within a minority as Indigenous peoples here in Australia. So it was really important, I thought, to do a children's book and educate people about it in a way that they can connect with.
Beautifully illustrated by Torres Strait artist Tori J. Morday, the book explains how each element of the flag represents the people and their relationship to the sea, land and sky.
I think the importance of a book like this is about informing and educating, I guess, you know, the future generations, kids that are going to grow up with that understanding about the colours and the symbol.
The book about the flag is available to buy online or in bookstores. Carly Willis, NITV News.
A program being run at a Western Sydney high school is helping First Nations students connect with their cultural identity and ancestry through art. Some of the finished works are already being shown in public and generating a lot of interest.
Student art on full display. The works created as part of the Deadly Arts program facilitated by the Nepean Creative and Performing Arts High School.
At Nepean, we hold a significant stakehold in assisting artists and ensuring First Nations students lean into their creative power.
All First Nations students from years 7 through 12 were invited to create artworks under the guidance of professional mob artists and educators.
I'm quite happy to have a 16-year-old teach me some of their culture as well, and I'll teach them, you know, what I know, and so we're on that journey together.
Six finished works now on show in the foyer of the Western Parkland City Authority's head office for National Reconciliation Week.
You can see in this foyer the exposure straight across from the station. The lights are on overnight, and already people are reaching out saying, hey, seen the work, it's stunning.
Each of the artworks tell their own stories.
It feels really good. Like, I've never actually had any of my artworks put on display before, so it feels really amazing.
Considering it is my first one I've done and getting it shown to other people, it feels pretty great. I'm hoping to do many more that can get displayed, so I've just started two more and I'm hoping they can go far with everything else that I'm doing.
It's hoped the program will grow to reach other students.
We're really expanding the program. I think that more students are going to want to get involved once they see how it's flowing and running, and then we're going to invite people from the region in. And then they can take it back to their schools. So we're trying to create that model where we'll do the pilot and we know that it's going to work.
Ricky Kirby, NITV News.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. The National Indigenous Art Fair is an ethical marketplace which showcases work from local and remote First Nations artists from across Australia. The art fair returns this year for its fifth year at the end of June. In this next interview, NITV Radio chats to Peter Cooley, the CEO of First Hand Solutions, about the upcoming event. Today I'm joined by Peter Cooley, CEO of First Hand Solutions. Thanks so much for joining me today on NITV Radio.
It's an absolute pleasure, Luana.
So the National Indigenous Art Fair is returning for its fifth year. Can you please tell me about the involvement of First Hand Solutions with the event?
Yeah, look, it really has stemmed from, for those that don't know, we run the black markets here, but it really has extended from that initiative to by supporting local businesses in arts, craft, tourism and bush foods. It's been so successfully that we thought we would offer that to a wider the wider communities across Australia and not just in Sydney. And so we created the National Indigenous Art Fair to support remote artists and art centres and support them to come to Sydney and showcase their wares.
Yeah, amazing. And as I mentioned, it is the fifth year. Can you talk a little bit about what will be showcased during the art fair?
Look, it's such an exciting year this year because we've got some new stuff happening at the art fair. We have a festival program for people to come along and enjoy and immerse themselves, obviously dancing and singing, and we've got some cultural workshops. We've got a communal weaving project happening, but we've also got some artists doing some specialist workshops as well in ochre painting. And exciting, we've got Regina Wilson again from Pepperminati, who's a master weaver, master fibre weaver, and she'll be using traditional resources from country that she harvests, the sand palm, and she dyes them from traditional dyes, and you know people can come along and be a part of that. But also we also have a curated space called the Living Room, and that's about exhibiting, you know, design for furniture, textiles, fabrics and homewares, which will be available for purchase. But that was curated by Australian Indigenous actor Mia Madden. It's a pretty special space, and it really does celebrate, like, the extension of Aboriginal and Torres Strait art from the gallery walls and into the walls of our living room, and also wearable artwork on fashion as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, there's going to be some pretty amazing stuff happening, and people can come along and join in and be a part of all that.
Mm, and you did mention that there'll be music and dancing. Who will be performing?
Well, we've got Garawu Cultural Immersion. They'll be putting on a smoking ceremony to kick off the arts, but they'll also do traditional dance. And we've got many dancers from the Northern Territory. But we've also got those wonderful girls, the Stiff Gins, Nadi Simpson and Kalina Briggs.
They're amazing.
You know, they'll be performing, and we'll have Microwave Jenny. So people can come along and you know, enjoy the immersive program that we have. But, you know, there's so much on offer. There's kids' workshops. We'll have cooking demonstrations. So if you're a foodie, you can come along and watch live cooking demonstrations. And, again, that communal weaving circle, which is always one of my favourites. I spend so much time there, fascinated with the skill of, you know, the artists, the master weavers. And we'll have remote weavers working alongside our local weavers, and we'll do an installation. So that'll be a communal weaving workshop where people can come and join in and learn from these master weavers.
And you did mention that there'll be activities for children to participate in, and is there also workshops and activities for the children? What will those be?
Well, we'll have workshops for the kids in Torres Strait Islander song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
As well as sand painting workshops, you know, that's always a favourite of the kids. So they'll be in the sand circle doing sand painting workshops. And I suppose, you know, for the kids, I mean, it's always just a curious sort of learning, walking around the artwork and just looking at all the colours, amazing colours. You know, so families can come enjoy those workshops and browse the amazing artworks and different sort of range of work available, you know, from your traditional artwork through to textiles, handmade jewellery, ceramics and artifacts.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that as well, the different range of artworks and mediums that the artists use. Can you just expand on that a little bit as well?
Yeah, I mean, look, one of the favourite ones of mine, you know, in the textiles, is we're seeing a lot of artwork being put onto particularly fabrics these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get really big, and I suppose one that always captures my eye is a tiny little community in Haast Bluff, and it's like Conjure Art Centre, and it's about 3 hours northwest, I suppose, of Alice, and I've been fortunate enough to take some young youth there, and we actually stayed in the art centre floor, slept along the floor, but seeing that work that was all around us on these easels, to now seeing it on clothing that people are wearing, and the stunning range that they're putting out all the time, you know, I just think there's such a big opportunity there for the clothing, I suppose.
Mm.
But also we're seeing a lot of, particularly the handmade jewellery, some of the ceramics is pretty incredible. But I also like, I come from a community of, I suppose, wood carving. So I always have a favourite of wood carving. So I always like to see, there are some, you know, that are bringing along traditionally carved artifacts from country, so using traditional wood resources. So I'm always fascinated when I see that stuff, and just the skill, you know, but incorporating the connection to country and the stories that come from country into those works.
Yeah, beautiful. And how does the art fair address economic exclusion, and how are artists and communities supported while showcasing their art at the National Indigenous Art Fair?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a number of barriers to those remote communities accessing the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And by, you know, by putting on the art fair and supporting those artists and those community art centres to make their way to Sydney and showcase their work, I suppose we're bringing them into Australia's biggest marketplace. You know, and those guys have the opportunity to one, create bigger opportunities, bigger networks, bigger customer base, but also to connect people into their communities, their stories, you know, through their artwork, and being able to have Sydneysiders, which is a very rare occasion to link directly with art centres, to talk to remote artists. That's a very unique opportunity that we offer. So, you know, I think last year we had 22,000 people attend the art fair.
And
those remote art centres generated, you know, just short of $1 million in direct sales. But it was the exposure and, you know, building your custom base and your networks, that is also a highly valuable part of being at NIAF.
And as you mentioned, it's growing and it's in its fifth year. What's the future for the National Indigenous Art Fair for, you know, years to come?
Well, I just hope we just keep growing, getting bigger and bigger opportunities for Aboriginal remote art centres and artists, as well as, you know, creating opportunities in other locations for artists and different collectives to come along and join the art fair. And, you know, we'll endeavour to keep growing but grow at, you know, within our capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I suppose that's the goal, is just to provide more opportunities in the future for more of our people, more of our artists, more of our art centres and more of our communities to prosper.
And finally, for anyone who does want to attend, can you just let us know where they can get some more information, and also where will it be held as well?
Yeah, I mean, for more information on the art fair, they can just go to our website at niaf.com.au, and there's lots of information around the program, who's going to be there. It's run at the Overseas Passion Terminal at Circular Quay in Sydney, so it's right on the water. You know, walk into the art fair, look out the windows, and you've got the Opera House out of one view, and, you know, the Harbour Bridge. So it's right on the water. Yeah, and it's at the Rocks or Circular Quay in between those.
Yeah, perfect. Well, it sounds amazing, and I can't wait to get down there myself. And thank you so much, Peter, for coming on NITV Radio.
Thanks, Lorana. Appreciate the time to share our story with your listeners.
You're with NITV Radio.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Nico Hines here, Rajari Mob. You listen to NITV Radio.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Now more than ever has been the theme for Reconciliation Week 2024. This theme is a reminder to everyone that no matter what, we continue to fight for our rights as First Nations people. Every single day we stand up, show up, and the work continues. As Reconciliation Week draws to a close, now more than ever, it's important to hear the voices of the next generation. My Voice, My Journey is a program based in the Yirrabadalla on the New South Wales South Coast, which takes emerging First Nations leaders on journeys connecting them with country, elders, culture and positive role models. The students taking part in the program have decided to share their thoughts about what Reconciliation Week means to them, why this week is so important for our country and what their hopes are for the future as the next generation.
My name's Will. This week is Reconciliation Week, and we're going to be talking about why it's so important to us as a people. What do you guys think reconciliation is?
About making peace with yourself and individuals around you.
Reconciliation means coming together as a nation and recognising and acknowledging the history of Australia and of Indigenous culture.
The importance of Reconciliation Week to me is being able to come together as a family, as individuals, and be able to take in what happened and know that it wasn't right, but being able to forgive and move on.
What's one thing about Indigenous culture or people that others can't seem to understand?
When we tell them about the Dreamtime stories, they seem to not understand and seem to not know how it fits in and how we want more culture stuff at school, and they just can't seem to understand how much of that we want.
Teaching non-Indigenous Australians culture, do you think that's important in a reconciled Australia?
Yes, since it's not only First Nations history, it's also like Australian history.
I wasn't around back then, but I've heard stories about white fellas coming and taking all us black mob away, and they apologise for that, so like we forgive them.
What does reconciliation look like to you?
It's when two groups of people who might have done something wrong come together to heal and learn more about the past and hear true stories.
Lockie, what is reconciliation to you?
When black and white people connected.
What are the next steps to reconciliation?
Changing the date, and also all whites and Aboriginal people coming together and making peace.
I think it's very important to remember that what happened, happened, but also being able to move on and with a positive mindset about it, and just knowing like it happened, but good outcomes always come, and we're a strong nation and we're able to do this.
What are the top things we can think about to reconcile?
For reconciliation to work, we need to stop with false promises and really look at the problems that Indigenous people face in our community. And for non-Indigenous people, we need to come together and let them know that it's okay to understand the history of Australia, of colonisation. And it's important that we acknowledge history before then, and for non-Indigenous people to come to terms and accepting that things have happened and that there is a problem in our country today, and that we need to come together as one nation and fix these problems, because there is no Aboriginal people without a reconciled Australia.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
You're listening to the radio of NITV.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
You're with NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. You can listen back to the show anytime online or catch any of our stories on our website at sbs.com.au. NITV Radio will be back on Monday with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant Mundungul. Thanks so much for listening and have a great weekend.
People's movement.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.